Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Commanding Your Life. This is your host, Beverly Fells Jones. I am an author, international speaker, certified seminar leader, and practitioner for the Silva Method and the Prime Directive and other techniques. On this show, I talk about how to expand your world thought, exploring the world of positive thinking, the law of attraction and consciousness from many points of view. I intend to share with you information that will enlighten and empower you in your life. I'm here to encourage you to think in the positive and show that miracles can happen. I truly believe that you've been given the power of the word and thought to create the life that you desire. This is a safe haven for discussion. We will entertain questions and ideas that will really open up your world. The thoughts and words and ideas expressed on the show are those of my guests or myself. We do not represent any organization. So please call in at 347-838-8437 when we are on air to ask any questions, or email me at Beverly@commandingyourlife.com. That's Beverly@commandingyourlife.com. This information is in the description of this episode online. So again, welcome and thank you for spending your time with us, and let's start our program.
Well, good morning. It is again a wonderful, sunny, beautiful day here in Texas. And I hope wherever you are, it is sunny and beautiful for you also. Yes, this is Beverly Fells Jones, your Silver Fox of Consciousness, coming to you this morning. And I am in a beautiful, wonderful, fantastic mood. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to meet a group of fantastic ladies in an organization called the Wealthy Sisters Network. Yeah, the Wealthy Sisters Network. It is, and it's not, it's people who are moving forward, people who are looking to move their lives forward and just become the best that they can be. And so this was like the meeting of a launch party for the Dallas chapter of the Wealthy Sisters Network. So I invite you to, ladies, and this is ladies of all ethnicities, to join us and look up Wealthy Sisters Network online, because it is a national organization. We're getting started here in beautiful, fantastic, wonderful Texas. I want to give a shout out, of course, to all of my listeners. I want to thank you for being here today. I want to welcome you. I want to shout out everyone around the world and my on-air family at positivepower21.org. Well, as always, I'm going to say, if you're driving your vehicle, you can listen to this, but do not close your eyes, of course. If you're operating equipment, I'd say stop. Put it to the side, that we go into the meditation and we set our intention for the week, or you can set an intention for what you want to come into your life. So I want you to take a deep breath. Take another deep breath in. and out. Another deep breath in and out. And just feel how your body wants to just settle in and relax. Settle in and just feel your muscles and your shoulders just relax. And in your hands, just relax. Your forehead, your head, you're relaxing. It just feels like it's melting. Just feels like, oh, I just want to call it like jello. Just relaxing and like putty in your hands. Just relax. Your face, your neck, your shoulders, your back, your hips, your abdomen, everything, your thighs, your knees, your calves, your ankles, your feet, your toes, every muscle in your body knows that it can relax and just be at peace. There is a power and a presence in this universe that is part of all of us and everything. Everything and everything that exists has come from that power and presence. That presence is in us, around us, in front of us, behind us, to the right of us, to the left of us, inside of us, and inside every cell of our body, because we came from and was created by that power and presence that we know as the creator of the universe. We know as the God of this universe. As the God who created everything and everyone, and that we are all a part of that. And because that we are a part of that creator, and we have a little bit of the creator in all of us, we are able to ask for what we desire. And so today we ask, and that we intend that this is to be a wonderful week. That we will be given the answers to questions that we so desire that will help us move forward in our life. If it is to know what is our mission, what is it that we desire so much within our hearts that we cannot turn it away, coming in front of us and never going away, that it keeps showing back up. Is it that we need to get an answer to it? Do we need to resolve it? Is this the direction that we are to go? I don't know. And that's why I'm asking for guidance and direction for all who are listening today, so that they can find their path in life. Even if they found their path, that they know the direction within that path they are to go and to be and to do, and to know that you are with them and in them and part of them, and all they have to do is think and ask in order to get the answer to the question, and that they need to stop, relax, be at peace, and be still. Be still and listen, be still and know, be still. And watch for the answers to show and come into their life easily, effortlessly. And that all things are for the highest and best good for everyone involved. And we want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It is done. It is so. Take a deep breath. relax. Open your eyes, return to the room, and hello. Well, today, let me tell you, I've been talking about this with friends and family, and you're my on-air family, so I'm sharing this with you. In the past, I've had my friend Bonnie W.K. with me, and Bonnie has informed you and told you and talked to you about her trip to the other side. I went last year and saw the movie Heaven is for Real, and I'm sure many of you have seen that about a young boy who experienced heaven. And it was so compelling in the fact that he said he met his grandfather, who he had never seen, who had passed before he was born. And his father showed him a picture of him. He said, no, not him. Not him. He's too old. And he looked in, and his father found a picture of his father as a young man. He said, yeah, that's who I talked to. Yeah, right. So I go, okay, so we get younger when we move over, right? No, but the idea of how can this be so? How can this be real? You know, more and more people, because of medical technology, are moving over and coming back. But this young man did not die on the operating table. He was just ever, and if any of you saw the movie, his parents didn't want to believe him until these things. One, identifying his grandfather, whom he had never seen, and talking about his little sister. And they said, little sister? He says, yeah, I met my sister in heaven. The sister that I had but didn't live. Well, he was young. They never told him about his mother losing a child. So he knew about that. He knew about things he should not have known about as a young boy. And if I remember correctly, he was like 4 or 5, young child. And when I was at the movies to see War Room and the coming attraction, there's another movie coming out called 90 Minutes in Heaven. Why is this coming forward? And more people are talking about their adventure, and I call it an adventure. Why are we seeing it so very much? There are many books that have been written. There was books I never knew existed, and people that I didn't know had done that. And I was having a conversation with my jeweler, and he and I, whenever I go in there, he and his wife, it's a jewelry shop run by he and his wife, and if I have a piece of jewelry that needs to be repaired, I'll go see them. But I always wind up being in there at least an hour, so I always make sure, like, it's a trip that I have time to talk, because we get into these very deep conversations about life and about the law of attraction and about the Bible, and just, it's a wonderful time for me. And he told me about this book, and he also told me about his father, who was not a believer, but after a certain surgery, he became a believer. And so I may talk about that a little later. But he told me about this book called Proof of Heaven, A Neurosurgeon's Journey into the Afterlife. And that neurosurgeon was Eben Alexander, MD. Now, I wasn't able to get a hold of him, but hopefully sometime in the future I may be able to get a hold of him and have him on the show just to talk about this. But there were several things in this book. So let me give you a little history of what happened to him. Now, he's a neurosurgeon. So he understands how the brain works, right? He understands how the body works. And yes, in the book, he gives a little scientific terms of how the brain works. So he believed that once your brain was dead, guess what? You were dead. You didn't exist. He talks about the section of the brain, the outer coating of the brain called the neocortex, N-E-O-C-O-R-T-E-X. And he says that when that is damaged and hurt or destroyed, it destroys your humanness. The inner part of your brain is the one that helps you with your heartbeat and your regulation of your temperature and your breathing and, you know, the automatic things in your life. But the neocortex is the one that makes you you. Well, what happened to him? So he truly believed that he's a scientist. So he's going through and he's believing that once it is done and it is gone, you're a vegetable. You may be able to live. You know, people are in the comas and they're able to live, and but once that's gone, no. And so the doctor, Dr. Alexander, contracted bacterial meningitis. So just the term meningitis, you know, people don't want, you know, like, and it was of severe E. coli, and we've heard the word E. coli before. E. coli bacterial meningitis. And that's what happened to him. He contracted it, and they still don't know how he got it. They were looking for ways if he had been somewhere where it had been, but no. He contracted it, and he wound up going into the hospital. His wife found him having a seizure. He went into the hospital. So this is what got him. They started working on him and trying to figure out what it was. They were pumping him full of antibiotics, and they were praying it wasn't something that, you know, was not able to be taken care of, but over a period of time, it appeared as though everything was going south, right? And it did go south because he went into a coma, and he was in a coma for 7 days. What he experienced, and in his book, he kind of goes back and forth what was going on in the hospital and with his family, and then what was going on with him while he was in this state. And he says, the fact is that his neocortex, his humanness, this person that he is, that he believed was only him, was being destroyed systematically by this bacteria. He lost all consciousness. And in chapter 5, he calls it the underworld. And he said that this darkness, this was a darkness, but a visible darkness he experienced. Right? A darkness, but a visible darkness that he experienced. Consciousness, but consciousness without memory or identity. Like a dream where you know what's going on around you, but have no real idea of who or what you are. He said there was a sound, a deep rhythmic pounding, distant yet strong, so that each pulse of it goes right through you. He said, I didn't have a body, not one that I was aware of anyway. I was simply there, in this place of pulsing, pounding darkness. Right? And he didn't know how long he was going to be in this world as he saw it. He said he was there. I felt like whatever I was always been there and would always continue to be, which was one of those things that struck me I had always been there and would always continue to be there. And he said, initially, did I mind this? Well, why would I, after all, since this is a state of being, was the only one I'd ever known. So he went on and he was looking and he was saying, he kept thinking of this place and he came to call it the realm of the earthworm's eye view. I'm still trying to understand it, but it was like he was looking at a dark, muddy place. All right. It was explanation he could give for it. The longer he stayed in this place, the less comfortable he became. Right? And he said grotesque animal faces bubbled out of the muck, groaned or screeched, and then they were gone again. I heard an occasional dull roar. Sometimes these roars changed to dim rhythmic chants that were both terrifying and weirdly familiar, as if at some point I'd known and uttered them all myself. He had no memory of a prior existence, so he had no way of knowing anything. He had no time. There was no time in him. Well, what he came to realize later is that this earthworm's view, muddy darkness, was his connection to earth and to life. But in the meantime, during his trip, he met a being, all right? A being who was guiding him, who started to guide him and direct him in this higher level. And brought him up out of that earthworm's view into an area which he calls the core. He was in a place of clouds. And he describes the orbs that are around him. And there was one particular one that he describes as flying on a rich design of a Persian carpet. Or a butterfly's wing. He said a warm wind blew through like the kind that spring up in the perfect summer. And this is the other piece. Although I still had a little language function, at least as we think of it on Earth, I began wordlessly putting questions to this wind, to this divine being that I sensed at work behind or within. What is this place? Who am I and why am I here? And what he said was, each time I silently posed one of these questions, so there was no word. He said, and they answered them, but in a way that bypassed language. Thoughts entered me directly, but it wasn't thought like we experience on Earth. It wasn't vague, immaterial, or abstract. The thoughts were solid, immediate, hotter than fire and wetter than water. As I received them, listen to this, I was able to instantly and effortlessly understand concepts that had taken me years to fully grasp in my life. So when he was here, he was in several areas, the earthworm's view, in the clouds, and he was in a pitch black place, he said. It was also brimming over with light. A light that seemed to come from a brilliant orb that was near him. The orb was living and almost solid, and the songs of the angels' beings were there. He said it felt like being in the womb of his mother. Now listen, in this case, mother was God, the creator, the source who is responsible for making the universe and all in it. This being was so close that there seemed to be no distance at all between God and myself. Yet at the same time, I could sense the infinite vastness of the Creator. I could see how completely minuscule I was by comparison, and I will occasionally use Om, and I think many of you have heard this term before being used as the pronoun for God. because I originally used that name in my writings after my coma. Om was the sound I remembered hearing associated with the omnipotent, omnipotent, and unconditionally loving God. But any other description falls short. Isn't that awesome? There were a couple of things that took from this book, since time is running down, but I wanted to share those sections with you. Said was his being pulled back to his earthly body, and he realized that later. But he was told while he was there, he's not staying here, but you are here to learn a couple of things. And here's a couple of things that I learned by reading his book. And the first one that he realized and he gave and he shared and that he felt, and I want you to begin to feel. He was talking about the invisible and the spiritual side of life, and that his loving companion on the butterfly wing, remember, the one on the Persian rug, he was asking these questions, and here's what he said. It came in three parts. To take one more shot at putting it into words, because, of course, it was initially delivered wordlessly. And here's what it said. And I want you to listen to this and understand this, because we've been told this in the scriptures. We've been told this before. Are loved and cherished. You have nothing to fear. I'm going to say that again. You have nothing to fear. There is nothing you can do wrong. That one was a surprise to me. There is nothing you can do wrong. He said, if I had to boil this entire message down to one sentence, it would run this way. You are love. He said, boiling it down even further, love. Love is, without a doubt, the basis of everything. Unconditional love is what God has for you. Unconditional love is bantied around, but in this place, in this world, in this physical world, as in the spiritual world, God is love, and therefore you are loved. Two things for me in this book that he also explained. One is that our mind and our brain is a governor to the vastness of information that we have available to us. And a governor is like if you rent a U-Haul truck, it is designed only to go to 55 miles an hour. It prevents you from going any faster. But if you can figure out how to do it, and I did, you can go beyond that 55 miles an hour if you go and search and you find the gateway. And he's talking about the fact there is a gateway for us. And when we go into meditation, that is a gateway. The second thing that I learned from this book is that ask and it is given. He asked and it was instantly given. And therefore, in your life, when you ask, be sure and know that when you ask, it is given if you have no doubt. This book has given me some other things, but I'm going to share one thing from my life with you. My mother was afraid of dying. She passed that on to me, but she had a near-death experience. She died, and they brought her back, and she said to me, I was on my way down the hall. She said that I remembered that I had something else to do, and I came back to my body to get it done. At the time, I was afraid. At the time, I didn't want to hear. But that was her message to me, that no fear. God loves you. And I'm going to tell you that God loves you. And thank you for being with me today. And I pray that your week is fantastic. And so, this is the end of the show today. And as I said, I want you to enjoy your week. Get the book, Proof of Heaven, A Neurosurgeon's Journey into the Afterlife by Eben Alexander, M.D.
Thank you for being here today. If you have any suggestions for the show or you know someone that I should interview, please contact me by emailing Beverly@commandingyourlife.com. That's Beverly@commandingyourlife.com. I'm also available via phone or online to assist you in making your life better. Don't forget, I have a free twice-monthly Commanding Your Life teleconference where you can ask questions and get answers. For more information on the teleconference, go to meetup.commandingyourlife.com. And to receive a free Silva Ultramind ESP mini course valued at over $100, go to silverfox.silvacourses.com. That's silverfox.silva, S-I-L-V-A, courses.com. Click on the newsletter link on the left-hand side of the page and follow the directions. Join me on the next episode of Commanding Your Life. Matthew 9:29 says, "As you have believed, let it be done to you." And it is so.